Yasuda Nanda no Bajitana Ranjina Yamuna Tera Vanachari Yamuna Tera Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Giri Varadari Gopi Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Giri Varadari Yasoda Nanda Love Jana Ranjinara Yasoda Nanda Love Jana Ranjinara Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo. Ramu Ramu Hari Hari Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribhujaka Acharya Asata Rasata Shri Shri Mahat, Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Rinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Premsakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gauda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. And all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today's verse is chapter 5, text 21. It's not one of the very well-known verses, but I will go through it myself. If anyone knows it and would like to chant it, by himself or herself, please feel free to do so. Bayaspar shesh vasakatma vindatyatma niyat sukham sabrama yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam ashnute. Anybody would like to chat it? No? You got it? Go ahead. Oh, you got it on your phone. Go ahead. Thank you very much. Anyone else got a cell phone? with the program? Yeah? No? Okay, we'll move on to the translation. A liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme Lord. Before we get into the purport, I would like to just clarify a few things here. It says a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure. That means the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the genitals. He's not attracted to these things, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. So where is that within? It's right in the heart area. So when a liberated person meditates within, he sees Krishna, Shyamasundara, right in the heart, in the super soul, who is the super soul of the living entity. So in other words, when one sees the Supreme Lord and absorbs himself or herself in the Supreme Lord and feels the love of the Supreme Lord, feels the bliss of the Supreme Lord, and quite naturally, there is joyfulness, there is ecstasy, there is deep inner pleasure. So that's what is being said here, that he is not concerned with the external pleasure, but is concerned only with the, not even his own pleasure, but in looking at, in seeing, and absorbing himself in the pleasure of looking at the beautiful form of Krishna. So, moving on now. The purport. Sri Yamunacharya, a great devotee, sorry. A great devotee in Krishna consciousness said, I'm going to read the Sanskrit, Yad avadi mama cheta Krishna padaravinde nava navarasa dharman yudyatam rantam asit tad avadi batanari sangame smaryamane bhavati mukha vikara sushtu nishti vanamcha. And now, continuing into the purport, and first the translation of what I just read. Yamunacharya is saying, since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in him. Whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought and my lips curl up with distaste. So what does he mean by that? He's not putting down sex. What he's saying is he found something better than sex pleasure. And that is the pleasure of union or oneness or love of Krishna. And when he absorbs himself in loving thoughts with the Supreme Lord, he experiences a level of bliss, a level of ecstasy, a level of happiness that goes far beyond any sensual pleasure. So that's what he's basically saying. He said, I'm not concerned about all these other types of pleasures, especially sex, which is very intense, but I've got something way better than that. So therefore, he says, my lips curl up with distaste. Because normally, we as human beings are attracted to that. But he's no longer attracted to that. He found something better, something higher, something greater, something more joyful. Continuing on. A person in Brahma Yoga, or Krishna consciousness, which is what we practice here, is so absorbed in the loving service of the Lord that he loses his taste for material sense pleasure altogether. The highest pleasure in terms of matter is sex pleasure. The whole world is moving under its spell, and a materialist cannot work at all without this motivation. But a person engaged in Krishna consciousness can work with greater vigor without sex pleasure, because as I already said, he has something more intense, more enjoyable, transcendental, above and beyond anything material. That is the test of spiritual realization. Spiritual realization and sex pleasure go ill together. You can't be God realized if you're attached to that kind of pleasure. One is bodily, the other is spiritual. They're going in two different directions. One is enjoyable on the earth platform or the material platform, or the other is enjoyable on the spiritual platform. A Krishna conscious person is not attracted to any kind of sense pleasure due to his being a liberated soul. Liberated from what? First of all, he's liberated from karma. How many of us know what the meaning of the word karma is? Raise your hand. Nobody? Come on, some of you know. Come on, you know what the karma is. Good. All right. So basically, karma means action. And there are two kinds of actions. There are actions which are helpful and actions which are harmful. So when we perform harmful actions, then they react to us. React in the sense that you get the fruit, which is a bitter fruit, which is so bitter that you want to spit it out. That's what painful karma or karmic reaction is. And when it's pleasurable, because you've done something nice, something selfless, something loving, something kind, something sweet, something warm to another human being, then the good karmic reaction is that somebody does the same for you. And when they act kindly to you, they act sweetly, warmly, considerately, sometimes out of nowhere, you might find that, for example, you're carrying something very heavy, like a heavy package, and then somebody just steps up near you and says, excuse me, but it looks like you're having a little trouble. Can I give you a hand there? Because you got this other package. I'll be glad to take the big one from you. My mother used to get that when she was in practically 85 to 90. People used to see her holding a package, and they said, can I help you? That's her good karma. That's her good deeds coming back to her. Because she, when she was younger, would say the same thing to other people who needed such help. So you never lose when you do something nice, something selfless, something loving, something kind, something considerate, something worthwhile to another human being. It all comes back. And if you do something hostile, something envious, something condescending, something hateful, something harmful, that will come back. So that's the whole idea that is being meant here, that a Krishna conscious person is not attracted to any kind of sense pleasure due to his being a liberated soul. So he's liberated. Liberated, as I said, from what? Liberated from this karma. He doesn't have any karma anymore. He only does not just good things, not just nice things, not just beneficial things, but he does things which give pleasure to God. He pleases God. He serves God. He offers incense to God. He offers fruit to God. He offers worship to the Lord. He offers prayers to the Lord. He's always trying to please the Supreme Lord without even concerning himself with any particular result coming back to him. He does it unconditionally, unmotivatedly. In other words, he's not doing it with the concept, I'm giving you this, Lord, now you owe me. You got to pay me back. Don't forget. So I'm going for my examination at school. Make sure that I remember everything that I've memorized. Otherwise, you're not a good Lord. So this is putting spiritual life on a very conditional platform. Not the platform that a pure devotee will ever even think of. So a pure devotee simply serves for the sake of, because Krishna deserves to be served. He deserves our love, doesn't he? He feeds us. He clothes us. He shelters us. When we need medication, he gets us medication. When we even need a friend in need, when we need somebody to help us, he gets that too. He permits things to happen. He enables things to happen. And he arranges for things to happen. So our good luck, so to speak, there's no such thing as good luck. It's an arrangement by Krishna. That's his kindness. And sometimes he gives us difficulties and trials and tribulations for various good reasons. Sometimes it's just what we deserve as a result of what we did before, what we call bad karma. Or it may be not bad karma, but Krishna is giving us something to teach us a lesson in difficulty, in trial, in tribulation, in problems. So in giving us that, what happens, we begin to understand what some other people may be suffering. Sometimes a person says, oh, my back, it hurts so much. But if you've never had a backache, it's difficult to understand really what the person is crying about. Sometimes I hear people say, what's he crying about? Because he doesn't know the pain of having a really bad backache. So when a person has had a backache, when another person says, oh, my back hurts, and he says, well, can I help you in anything? I got some nice liniment. Maybe we can rub the Bengay into your back or something like that. He wants to help. He wants to give some kind of succor. He wants to give some type of affection, some warmth. So that's why we are sometimes given difficulties, tribulations, trials, problems, in order to teach us lessons. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm doing so many nice things. I'm acting well. I serve the deities. I offer my food to Krishna. And why is he giving me this trouble? I've just explained it. To teach us lessons. We should never think that we've know it all now. I've got enough suffering in my life. No more suffering. I know it. But Krishna knows that we don't know it. And there are yet other lessons to learn. So he gives us these lessons. I find that my greatest gurus have been my pains. I've learned more from my pains about compassion, understanding, sympathy, empathy towards other living beings. And it prompts me, it compels me, it urges me to want to give help or give some relief if it's within my power or my ability. So therefore, Krishna has very nicely arranges these things, but he also gives us pleasures. He gives us friendship. He gives us books. Speaking of books, this is one of the books I've written, and I hope any and all of you might be interested in it. It's called The Supreme Mystic, and it's a biographical novel about the early years of Lord Krishna. And the cover shows Krishna's father, Vasudev, taking him across the Yamuna River when it was in a fervent, stormy position. And it goes into the pastimes, the adventures of Krishna when he was young. And it shows his many miracles. It shows his many, as I said, his adventures. It showed his many pranks, his mischief. We find out that there's a certain level of God that most people don't have the slightest idea about. That God is actually not only a serious person who recites the Bhagavad Gita, which is the highest philosophy, but he's also a fun person. He steals butter occasionally from his neighbors. He's a thief. But he does it for fun. He does it for play. And when he does it, although he's scolded by the neighbors who he's stealing from, on the other hand, the neighbors like it. Because when they just see him, they look at him, they are so charmed and enchanted by his beautiful looks that on the one hand, they're glad that he came in. On the other hand, it's the butter that they've been churning. So, therefore, it's a conflict of interest, so to speak. So Krishna is quite a fun person. And the book just has been written in such a way that you can't put it down because it's written like most suspense novels. Suspense novel keeps you reading. And if it keeps you up reading all night, I'm sorry, but that's just the way it goes. In fact, one of the reviewers mentions just that in one of the first reviews, that you can't put it down because it's suspenseful. You want to know what's going to happen next. And even if you know what's going to happen next, you still want to see the way Krishna deals with it, because in every book, every author may put his own little slant on it. So anyway, the book is available from me if you want. Now, I mentioned that there would be five particular practices that Lord Chaitanya recommended as the highest. There are 63 or 64 practices that Lord Chaitanya mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and also in the Nectar of Devotion and also in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Five of these 63 are most important. And I will name them and then I will begin to describe them in a little more detail. First of all, chanting of the holy name of God or the names of God, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, especially serious-minded devotees, persons who really want to know Krishna, who want to go back home to Krishna, who want to serve Krishna, who love Krishna, And just that's all they want. And they are experiencing transcendental bliss as a result of this. So associating with your devotees, which is happening right here. Everyone is associating with everybody. Everyone is radiating. Everyone is emanating some vibration based upon our merits, spiritual merits, based upon our credits, the good things we've done. So we're all sharing each other's vibrations. It emanates. It radiates out. And though we may not see this with our physical eye, it's there. And that's why when you go to the temple and you come to a talk like this, or you engage in the wonderful kirtans and the dancing and chanting, you feel really uplifted because you received that holy, uplifting vibration of love, which is coming from the deities and the devotees. So you're getting it from everywhere. That's why it's good to come to a temple. You can, of course, worship in your home, but it's just you and the deity, which is good. But when you get so many other persons together who are equally interested in loving Krishna, in serving Krishna, glorifying Krishna, honoring Krishna, it's even better. Yes, much better. So, as I have just said, associating with the devotees. Fourth is worshiping the deity. The deities are what we see on the altar, which many may think are just statues, but they are made of marble, but they go beyond marble. How do they go beyond marble? Well, because when these statues are brought here, it is true that God is in every atom of creation. He's in this wood. He's in this metal. He's in my watch. He's in this soft piece of material. In the marble of the floor. He's everywhere, present, as Super Soul. But he's only watching. He's only observing. He's not involved in the activity that he's observing. He's just watching. So in that situation, we cannot get any interaction from the Lord between ourselves and God. But the deities are, when they're brought in, various prayers are said, various mantras are recited, and the whole idea is to invoke the deity who's already in the marble and awaken that deity to participating in our love for him or her. In other words, God becomes a partner with us as opposed to merely being an observer, a witness. So God becomes a partner in us. How? Well, when you make an offering to the Lord, let's say you take a fruit, take an apple or pomegranate or whatever, and you offer it to the Lord with your heart, the Lord accepts this. And in return, he gives us some blessing. The blessing may be of a material nature. It may be of a mental nature, an intellectual nature, but most likely a spiritual nature in which we begin to feel closer to Krishna, like we want to be nearer to him. We want to serve him more, and we begin to appreciate him more. That's the main point, to appreciate Krishna more and more. And as a result of his blessings, that's exactly what happens. So worshiping the deity, when we offer something to the deity, there's reciprocation. For example, I give you a banana or an orange, so you have it, and then the first thing is you want to offer something back. It's a natural instinct of human beings. So you want to give something back. So Krishna is the same way, but he gives 10 times more, if not 100 times more, than what we give him. So we should never think that he owes us anything. Actually, he's always giving us much, much more than we can ever give him. Actually, Krishna doesn't need anything. He has everything. He's always joyful. So, worshiping the deity is, it brings bliss, it brings joy, it brings happiness to us. Because the deity, in effect, in appreciation for what we are giving, what we have given, he reciprocates. Reciprocate means he gives back. And when he gives it back, you feel that joy, you feel that happiness, you feel that satisfaction within your being. Okay? So worshiping the deity is the fourth means that is given. The fifth means is living in a holy dham. Dham is a Sanskrit word which really means a holy environment. This is a holy environment. People who live in this block here, in this street, they live in a holy environment. They can come, the temple is always available. They can enter it, they can worship the deity, they can chant mantras to the deity, they can chant their rounds to the deity, they can read to the deity, they can sing to the deity. Just before this ceremony was taking place, I saw that at around 4 o'clock, there were devotees in here singing to the deity. That's how they give pleasure to the deity. So in giving pleasure, the deity is pleased and reciprocates in some way or another with them. But the deity is never cold, never hard-hearted, always soft-hearted to all your efforts. So therefore, he is the best of best of best of friends. And I say that from my own personal experience, and not only my experience, but so many other devotees I know who have had such wonderful experiences. But sometimes, as I have mentioned earlier, sometimes the experience may not be so positive. It may not be so joyful. Sometimes it's painful. But in the overall picture, as I have said earlier, that my greatest gurus have been my pains, which means that those pains have ultimately resulted in bliss and peace and strength and love. So therefore, worshiping the deity and living in a holy dham. When you live in a holy dham, that means the people who are around here, it means they're reading these books. They're thinking of Krishna. They're doing service for Krishna. They're honoring Krishna. They're doing prayers to Krishna. That's a good kind of environment to be in because it's a positive environment. When you go out to the material world, you see so many people grousing, complaining. Oh, the weather is terrible. Oh, this hurricane is going to kill us. Oh, it's too hot. It's too sunny. Or, oh, it's too gray. It's too cloudy. There's some people, they thrive on complaints. They can't enjoy themselves unless they got something to complain about. It's a fact. That's what they're lived for. And if they don't have anything to complain about, they almost want to commit suicide. Because that's what they live for, unfortunately. However, a devotee does not complain. He just deals with the situation as he is capable of, as he knows how to, and does the best he can to remedy the situation. Doesn't complain. Considers that Krishna's will is upon him and is giving him these to teach him some lesson, to exalt him, to ennoble him, to enable him to be able to become a better human being and a better devotee of Krishna. So now I'm going to talk a bit more about those five practices. The first I mentioned is chanting of the holy name. So the holy name, we're chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So these are holy names. Krishna states, and it's stated in the Shikshastika prayers by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction. He says it can render all benediction. That means that by chanting the name, we associate with Krishna. Krishna has invested himself in his own name so that when we chant that name, when we chant it, it's not just a sound, but the sound goes to our mind. And when it's in the mind, it's transferred to the intelligence. Through the intelligence, it's transferred to the soul. And when it reaches the soul, then the soul undergoes some transformation. Let me explain. The holy name is purifying. Everybody knows what soap is. Every time when you take a bath, you know, you wash yourself and the dirt comes off when we soap the body. Similarly, when the soul is soaped, not cleansed by the holy name, then the soul has a covering like a cloud over it. This cloud is known as the material energy. And it consists of three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. And those are the things that cause us to have anger and lust and greed and envy and gluttony and sloth and laziness. All these qualities are the result of these three modes acting upon us and causing us to act. So the modes, they affect us. Now, if we can overcome these modes, or stated another way, I said that there was a cloud. That cloud is the modes of nature. When the cloud is on us, we're acting in a certain way. If the cloud is removed, then the soul is completely free of those modes, free of material energy. So what we have then is when this mantra, this Hare Krishna mantra is recited, it's like soap and it begins to wash away this cloud of ignorance, this cloud of materiality. And as it washes it away, it gets lesser and lesser and lesser. And that's the whole idea in this chanting, to reduce the amount of materiality or ignorance. That's what it's all about, to reduce the ignorance and to increase the knowledge, to increase the association with the Supreme Lord. So, therefore, when we when we chant the Lord's name, Hare, first of all, what does Hare mean? Hare is the female aspect of the Supreme Lord. When Krishna wanted to, first of all, Krishna is male, but he's also female. And when he manifests the female aspect of himself, we have Radharani. And the only reason he manifests that is to increase or strengthen or intensify the bliss that he already has. He's always blissful. And any devotee who is free of the modes of nature is also always blissful. But that bliss can be intensified, strengthened. And so what happens is that Krishna manifests himself, and that is known as that particular potency. But that potency is known as Radha or Radharani. It's called the pleasure potency. So when the pleasure potency is manifested, that is known as Radharani. And that pleasure potency is considered to be the greatest devotee in existence. Lord Chaitanya mentions this. He said, Lord Krishna mentions this. There is no devotee greater, higher, better, more in tune with my needs than Srimati Radharani. So therefore, she has come, or she is manifest, for the prime purpose to increase or to give Krishna various kinds of pleasure through selfless devotional activity. By service, she can cook as no one can cook. She can play music as nobody can play music. She can make up poetry, recite it. So that gives Krishna a lot of pleasure. And because it gives him a lot of pleasure, he especially favors her and anyone whom she favors. So if you can get the good graces of Srimati Radharani, you automatically get the good graces of Krishna. If Krishna is ignoring you, disdaining you, neglecting you, being indifferent to you, then go to Srimati Radharani and complain. He said, please, all I know is I pray and I pray and he's like he's not even there. Please, you're a female, you have a soft heart, you know what I'm going through. So I'm begging you, please help me. I'm asking, I'm having trouble every morning getting up at, 4 o'clock in the morning. I keep oversleeping. I need some help from Krishna. Can you ask him to please wake me up and get me up and make me stay up instead of the grogginess and then I fall back to sleep? So Srimati Radharani, she doesn't even have to ask Krishna. She'll do it herself. She's so kind and sweet and loving. So, anyway, so the point is that the Srimati Radharani, her business is to, she will plead on behalf of devotees. And if Krishna hears from her that such a devotee is having difficulty, and Srimati Radharani is, I'm going to be talking about this on Tuesday morning, by the way, because that's the appearance day of Srimati Radharani. Radharani, and I will go into the details and much more. But if she appeals to Krishna, Krishna, your devotee is suffering. Please help him. He cannot resist her effort to remedy the situation. He's totally controlled by her. You say, how can God be controlled by anyone? Pure love controls God and nothing else. You can't buy your way. You can't say, okay, Krishna, I'm going to the temple. I'm going to give $10,000 right now. Can you help me out now? That's not the way. You can't buy his attention. You can't buy his appreciation. You can't buy his gifts or anything. Only pure love can do that. And Srimati Radharani, she has that. So because she has it and she manifests it and expresses it and gives so much pleasure and happiness to Krishna, he's willing and ready and able to be compliant to her wishes. Okay? So chanting the holy name, Radha, Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. And Radha or Hare, it means Radharani. And Rama means that which is pleasurable. So therefore we chant this name with the idea of unifying ourselves, associating ourselves with Krishna. Because as I said, he is in his name. And as soon as you chant his name, you begin to associate with him. That means you associate with his eternality principle, knowledge principle, bliss principle. We associate with that. We associate with his opulences of beauty and wealth and strength and fame and knowledge and renunciation. All these come to us by association. If you chant the word mango, 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 you don't get the taste of mango in your mouth unless there's somebody here who's got some powers to do that. Huh? Anybody? So if you chant the word mango, you just get the word mango. But when you chant the name Krishna or Rama or Hare, then the vibrations of these great, great personalities become slowly but surely a part of our being, and we manifest those qualities that Krishna himself manifests, but he gives to us in friendship and in appreciation. Okay? So much for chanting the holy name. Next thing is hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is one of our great scriptures, considered one of the best of the Puranas. So we have classes here every morning. We have classes every morning at 7:30. And you can come to those classes. There's no charge. We don't have somebody selling tickets outside. In some places you go, you can't get in unless you give $20 or something like that. These teachings were given to Prabhupada freely by his spiritual master. And they come from God, so we don't charge for the teachings. We give it freely because we want everyone to become God conscious. We want everyone to love Krishna. We want everyone to get the blessings of Krishna. So why should we charge? That puts the whole thing on a conditional basis. In other words, unless you pay me, you don't get any Krishna. Who can love a person like that? It's pure business. It's pure commercialism. It's merchandising. And we are not like that. So that was one of the things that attracted me to Krishna, to Srila Prabhupada, is that he would just come. I had a previous teacher that if you wanted to talk to him, you know, for 15 minutes or 20 minutes, you had to come up with a $20 bill. Well, after a while, I got tired of that. And I decided there's something better. And I saw that Srila Prabhupada was that something better. So reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing the Bhagavatam, or the Bhagavad Gita, you can come in the evening. We have classes every evening at 7:30 and listen to the Bhagavad Gita. Or you can listen to a narration of the Bhagavad Gita, my narration. If you go on my website, you'll see you can listen to the entire Bhagavad Gita free. I let people listen to that, although people want to, they can buy it also and pay for the cost of the discs or whatever the difficulties were in producing it. So it's on my website. You'll see that. You know, $10 Bhagavad Gita, free. Everybody can listen to the Bhagavad Gita. So it's there. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you miss the class in the morning, if you go on lalive.us, later on, click on it, you can get it later on. Or even 3 days later, if you go on, not LALive.us, but YouTube, and type in the date, you know, LA Temple, you can get it then. So what I'm saying is that there's no excuse for any of us. We can get the Bhagavatam. And for those of you who want to have a copy of the Bhagavatam, I've recorded the entire Bhagavatam here. Two discs. It used to be on 64 tapes and you used to have to pay $240 for it. So now you get it practically almost for free at $25. The same thing, everything there. So please avail yourself. It's there. You can put it in your car. You can change it into a USB and play it there. Play it in your computer. The main thing is to use the time profitably, spiritually. And you can do that by listening to these wonderful words of that Srila Prabhupada has given us, these translations. And by so doing, we become, remember I talked about the soap, how the soap cleans the dirt off the soul, the clouds. This helps. Chanting the holy name is cleansing. Hearing the Bhagavatam, cleansing. Associating with devotees who are leading a pure, spiritual, loving life, purifying. So next thing, associating with devotees, I don't think I have to tell any of you about that because you're all here because you appreciate, you value, and you're grateful for devotee association. And when you are grateful and you thank Krishna for that, you say, thank you for giving me a place to go where other people who love you or are striving to love you are, and I can take the benefit of their holy association. I am very, very eternally grateful for that benediction. So when we do that, then Krishna is very pleased. Instead of us taking things for granted, thinking, I'm so great, I'm so wonderful, I'm so glorious, I deserve it, I'm entitled to this. No entitlement. We've all committed so many offenses against the Lord that we cannot even count them if you go back life after life. But Krishna doesn't care about that. He only cares about what we do now, what our attitude is now. And if we have the right attitude now, and we're trying to develop pure love for the Lord through loving devotional service, then the result of that will be that Krishna will bless us, and the result will be more and more devotee association who will prop up our spiritual life, help us to become more spiritual. Yeah. So the next thing is worshiping the deity. Well, I've already mentioned that God is within the deity and he is a partner. He is projecting his love out. When I come into the temple every morning, at 4:30 we have a ceremony. The first thing I say is, thank you for allowing me to come in. I mean, he could have prevented me from coming in. He could have put a stone in front of my foot, caused me to trip and fall and bash my head and be out of not even able to get here for 3 weeks. There are people who can't get here because they were not grateful enough for what they received. They just took it for granted. I'm great. I'm wonderful. I'm glorious. I'm this. I'm that. And taking that mentality, Krishna says, no, no, no. I have to take this away from him so that he or she can appreciate it. By separation, by distance, we tend to appreciate things. When we have a loss of something that we use regularly and now we don't have it anymore, we sometimes say, oh, wow, I needed that. It was really important to me, and I just took it for granted. So when we have that mentality, then Krishna continues to give more to the devotees so that they can have what they need for the advancement of their spiritual life. So, okay, worshiping the deity. So when worshiping the deity, we offer our hearts. We thank the Lord for allowing us to see him. We thank the Lord for enabling us to even worship him. We thank the Lord for enabling us to become humble. If we don't have humility, then God doesn't even want to look at us. But if we have humility and we beg, please, I need your help. I can't do it all by myself. And I'm having difficulty, I'm having trouble, I'm having problems. Please help me. You would take that position. It's a helpless position. And Krishna says, in all activities, he says, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. So if you just want to do it on your own, Krishna says, go ahead. And you will instead of having transcendental bliss, you will suffering. Excuse me, we have a class going on here. And we expect silence from persons who are attending the class. If you have a problem with that, please take your speech outside and not interfere with the persons here who are trying to listen. Thank you very much. Okay, so continuing on, worshiping the deity. And by doing that, we are glorifying, we are realizing the greatness of God. The last is that it is living in a holy dhamma. As already mentioned, sometimes persons say, well, I have to spend an hour traveling to get here. Yeah, and, oh, okay, well, she has a difficulty. If you can whisper, that would help. Thank you. Anyway, so that is the problem. So if you have a difficulty, you cannot get here, then we have the internet. You can. This talk, which I'm giving, is being watched by a number of people on the internet. Or you can get it on YouTube later on. But living in a holy dham means, or in a holy environment, to pick up the vibrations of everybody who lives here. When you get those wonderful vibrations, they uplift you. They ennoble you. They lift you up. And they cause you to want to serve Krishna more. Adore Krishna more. Satisfy the Lord more. And when we do that, the Lord is pleased, and the result is transcendental bliss. Transcendental bliss means Krishna, who is in the heart, Shyamasundara, and what he does when he's in the heart and he feels your love, he reciprocates and injects his love into you so that you feel his love. And when you feel his love, or we feel his love, it transforms us into a blissful, happy, fulfilled, super satisfied human being, as opposed to simply a materialistic being looking for pleasure externally, having it for a few minutes and then losing it, and that's the end of it. No, what we want is constant, enduring, unbroken pleasure. Pleasure which is from the soul, which is from the super soul, which comes from the transcendental realm as opposed to the material realm. Pleasure from the material realm is here today or here for 1 minute and gone the next minute. No, we all want to keep enjoying continuously. That's our nature. And the only way that can be satisfied is by pleasing God, satisfying God, offering to the Lord, reading about his things, listening to the Srimad Bhagavatam. And I said, anybody who would like this, please let me know. Or you can go on my website, amalbhakta.com, and they are orderable over there. So, therefore, I've given the five different means: chanting the holy name, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, worshipping the deity, and living in a holy dham or holy environment. If we can try to include all these five in our lives, it's hard to imagine, but day by day, little by little, step by step, we will find more and more of this transcendental bliss becoming a part of our consciousness. It's a natural, actually, transcendental bliss is our natural state, but the cloud, remember the dirty cloud? That's preventing us from experiencing that higher consciousness. Once the cloud is finished, we can associate directly with Krishna. But with the cloud here, all we do is associate with matter. And matter only gives us temporary pleasure. So I want to thank you all very much for listening. It's been my pleasure to share this with you. And if you have any questions at this point, please feel free to raise them now or ask me now. It has to pertain to this class here. If it's something different or something political, you know, what Donald Trump is saying yesterday, please, I can't handle it. That's not for me. That's not my field. Okay, so are there any questions that anyone would like to ask? Yes, please, go ahead. If you could come maybe a little bit closer. It's sometimes difficult without the microphone. Maybe we have a microphone? Yeah. Yes. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Towards the no, towards the what? Next life. In other words, you should either come back to this world as a devotee, or you should go back home, back to Godhead. One, which one is best? Actually, neither, and I'll explain. Our only concern through our devotional service is to give Krishna pleasure. How he wants to treat us, or how he wants to deal with us, is really his business. I see devotees saying, well, somebody dies. He says, well, he was always serving the deity. He's going back to God. How do you know he's going back to Godhead? Are you Krishna? I mean, when I hear these things, I say, what such ignorance. Why? We like to think that we're great prophets, you know, that I know where he's going. We don't know where he's going. But if Krishna told you where he's going, and you really have that kind of communication with Krishna, and Krishna said, like Prabhupada said, that a particular devotee was going back home, back to Godhead, Jayananda, I accept that as truth because he can communicate with Krishna. But somebody who's just calling himself, you know, great prophet, when he hasn't even achieved the ABCs in devotional service, then no. So what our main concern is, what does Krishna want? And if Krishna wants me to stay here, that's where I stay. If he wants me to go to a higher planet, that's where I go. But my main thing is never, oh Lord, never let me be without devotional, loving service to you. Because even if you send me to hell to try to wake up some of those horrible people down there, that's fine as long as you give me that as service and don't let me forget who I am, why I'm here, and who you are, and that my business is to serve you lovingly and eternally. Okay? Jai, any other question? Give you 3-5 seconds. Yes, please. I use the idea of a cloud, that is what we call material energy. Material energy is under the control of Krishna. Okay? So when you say material energy, well, yes, this floor is material energy. So it contains Krishna. But Krishna is not manifesting. He's not acting. He's just observing. That's all. Krishna is in the heart of everyone. But most persons, he's just observing. He's not acting. He's not participating. For him to participate, we need to begin the life of devotion to him. And therefore, he then becomes a participant in our life and helps us, enables us, aids us in coming back home to him and experiencing real, true, enduring, unbroken bliss. Okay? Anybody else have any questions? Yes, please.
You're going to have to come closer because you have a type of voice which is on the lower. I can't. You got to come right here, please. I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I want everybody to hear your question, and it sounds like a good one. Sit right here and speak slowly. Go ahead.
Okay. So the question is, if we are allured by the material energy, what should we do to bring ourselves back to devotional service? Well, Krishna is above material energy. As I have already said, I actually have given the answers in the course of the talk, but I'll give it again. The main thing is we have to, as Krishna said, in all activities, just depend upon me. So if you forgot to depend on Krishna, you ignored him, you became indifferent to him, you neglected him, and you fell into some maya, and you got into some trouble. Okay, but now you realize, wait a minute, I should have been attached to Krishna. I should have been depending upon Krishna. I wasn't doing that. So it doesn't mean that all is lost. So you start depending. My Lord, I'm so sorry. I should have been thinking of you. I should have been depending on you. I should have been having you in my mind. And then I would not have been allured because you are stronger than the allurement. The allurement is material energy, but you are spiritual energy, and spiritual energy is far more powerful. You control material energy. So if I would have you in my mind, then you would easily help me resist the temptation and forget it. That is our problem, forgetfulness. That's why we're in this material world, because we have forgotten Krishna. As soon as we remember him constantly, consistently, always, the result will be that we become more and more Krishna conscious. We will be less and less tempted, less and less attracted to lower material objects or things or places which are all going to pull us down. And rather we will be attracted to things which will lift us up, as I have mentioned, in living in a holy dham or a holy environment. Okay, does that answer? Anyone else have a question or comment? Or if you want to tell me I'm a horrible speaker, that's okay. I'll accept. Doesn't matter. I mean, some of you may be not exactly liking what I say. But we don't hold any punches. That's our philosophy. Take it or leave it. If I haven't explained it well, I'm always ready to do that so that everyone can understand it and apply it and use it and become better for it. Okay? So if there's no more questions, again, I thank you all for coming. It has been my pleasure, my privilege to share this with you. Please share whatever you have gotten with others. If you're interested in my book, please let me know, or the Bhagavatam. There are plenty of outside, many of my narrations of all of Srila Prabhupada's books. Take advantage of them. May God bless you all. Hare Krishna. Those are